Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. It's Blog Talk Radio, Interpreters of the Oracles of God. I call this one, Make Love Your Great Quest and Earnestly Desire and Cultivate the Spiritual Endowments. We've been talking about the prophetic, and I was thinking about there are things that we have to know to operate in the prophetic. And I thought, well, you know, discussing 1 Corinthians 14 and a little bit of 13 might help people understand that speaking in tongues and prophecy are part of the, our prophecy is part of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2, and tongues is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to talk about 1 Corinthians 14 and just do it verse by verse, because I think when you really just muse on it, you understand, you can understand that when you're speaking mysteries to God in the Spirit, speaking in other tongues, and you really muse on that, it's like, wow, speaking in mysteries to God. And if you think about the prophetic, you know, prophesying and everything that that the prophetic realm involves, you have to be in the Spirit to do it. And so that's our discussion today. And so, of course, I want to declare Numbers 10:9. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. And so I want to declare the recording of the shofar. Want to thank IHOP Kansas and bless them in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for blessing them and keeping them and making your face to shine upon them and giving them everything they need above and beyond that they could ever ask or think or even imagine to fulfill their part of your story. I pray in Jesus' name. And my prayer is scripture, of course. We're going to talk about prophetic utterances and things like that. And so according to 1 Thessalonians 5:19, thank you, Lord, that you will help us to never, ever quench you, Holy Spirit, and that we will not despise prophetic utterances, 1 Thessalonians 5:19 and 20. We are going to examine everything carefully and hold fast to that which is good. Lord, I pray that you will help us divide the word of God correctly, your word, that we are workmen approved by you. I pray, Father, that you will break off traditions and mindsets that are not of you, Lord, that those strongholds of the mind will be pulled down out of the people's minds as we discuss 1 Corinthians 14 today, and that you will give your rhema revelation that they may receive every good thing that you have for them, every good gift, Lord, because you are the Father of lights. There is no variation or shadow of turning in you. And Jesus, you are the same yesterday and today and forever. And I pray that you show them you can't remove parts of the scripture because you don't understand them. And so I thank you, Lord. Even in Romans 1:11, it says, what Paul says, I long to see you, that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. In 1 Timothy 4:14, thank you, Lord, we will not neglect the spiritual gifts within us. And Lord, I thank you that if they have never had their hands laid on by the presbytery, I pray that will happen. I pray that prophetic people will speak into their lives and activate the beautiful gifts that you have inside of them. And that can even be done in this, that can be done because there's no distance in the spirit, and the Holy Spirit does that. And so, Lord, I'm going to say a prayer that in the name of Jesus, by your power, Holy Spirit, Father, that each and every person that is listening that has never been activated, that their gifts have never been activated, Lord, that you will do that in the name of Jesus, that you will establish them, that you will begin to activate that treasure in their hearts, Lord, the things that you have already put inside of them, the gifts and the callings, Father, in the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, thank you for helping stir up the gifts and to kindle afresh your gifts, Lord God. And, you know, before we talk about 1 Corinthians 14, I'd like to briefly talk about the love chapter, because there are people who build a doctrine on there saying that all these things passed away. And so that is not correctly dividing the word of God. Because in the very next chapter, which we're going to discuss, Paul says, yes, of course, pursue love, but earnestly desire the greater gifts and that you may prophesy. And so in 1 Corinthians 13:9, it says, we know in part and we prophesy in part. And so in the concordance, the number 3313, I want to really discuss that word part, because it's a really huge thing. It's a part due or assigned to one, a lot or a destiny, one of the constituents parts of a whole, in part, partly, in a measure, to some degree, as respects a part, severally, individually, any particular in regard to this in this respect. So what does that mean? It says we prophesy in part. In other words, we don't have the whole revelation, that we have a part of the revelation. There's a part of the whole. So it's not saying that we that's not a negative thing, that we prophesy in part. And in the natural realm, as verse 12 also says, we now see in a mirror dimly, but then, when? In eternity, we will know face to face. We won't need prophecy in eternity, because the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. And when we're with him, we won't need to speak in tongues to build up our faith, to speak mysteries to God, because we'll be with him. He is the mystery. Because in eternity, we shall know fully as we are fully known. We will know fully as we have been fully known in heaven. And, you know, what about that, the one scripture that says, when the perfect comes, it'll be brought to an end. Well, when the perfect comes, and that's 5056, it means brought to its end, finished, wanting nothing necessary to completeness, perfect, that which is perfect, consummate human integrity and virtue of men, full grown, adult, full of age and mature. When we're in eternity and we see Jesus face to face, in eternity we won't know in part, but we'll know fully. The partial will be done away with. In other words, what's been shared with us, we're going to see it in full in eternity. We won't just know in part, we'll know in full. And so in 1 Corinthians 13:12, keep that in mind then. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. When? In eternity. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And of course, the greatest is love, because God wants us to learn. I believe we have to learn to walk in love. We have to learn how to allow God to manifest that agape love in us. He put it in us. He shed it abroad in our heart. But we have to learn how to walk in it. And I love what the message says about verse 8. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. And as we just discussed that's an eternity. Praying in tongues will end, because we'll be with God face to face. understanding will reach its limit. We know only a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, and that's the Lord Jesus, when we are in eternity with him, our incompletes will be canceled. And so thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that. Because God has so many beautiful gifts, and he wants us to walk supernaturally. It says, as he is in the world, as Jesus was, we're supposed to walk. We're supposed to be seeing the miracles that Jesus did, the deliverances. Think about Isaiah 61. That's what we're supposed to be doing now. He gave us the mission now. He when he ascended into heaven, he gave gifts to men. Why? To say, oh, I have this gift and that gift? No. It's to teach people. It's to walk in the gifts to see people healed and delivered and set free. So we're going to go, and I'm going to use the Amplified in it and go verse by verse. Eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest, and earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments, the gifts, especially that you may prophesy, interpret the divine will and purpose in inspired preaching and teaching. And that's, of course, 1 Corinthians 4:1. And it says to cultivate the spiritual endowments. And I loved the definition. I looked it up on dictionary.com. And I loved what it says. It says cultivating, cultivated, prepare and work on land, this is an example, in order to raise crops or till, to use a cultivator on, to promote or improve the growth of, and they use the example of a plant or a crop, by labor and attention, to produce by culture, to cultivate. Another example is cultivate a strain of bacteria, to develop or improve by education or training, to train, to refine. An example of that was to cultivate a singing voice, to promote the growth or development of an art, science, etc. So we're going to say the gifts here. You have to cultivate them. You have to be trained to operate. I believe that every person needs training in the prophetic to devote oneself to. I just said that. And an amazing example of doctrine about the gifts of tongues, the gift of tongues, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and prophecy is in Acts 19. It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, no, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. There were in all about 12 men. Now, the reason why we have to discuss for the prophetic, being baptized in the Spirit and being able to allowing the Holy Spirit to baptize us and speaking in tongues is because when you speak in tongues, that is, you're speaking mysteries to God. And you, as you began to speak in other tongues, it's the things inside you, the gifts, the wisdom, the knowledge that you need to operate in the prophetic will be stirred up by praying in the Holy Spirit. And so the only prerequisite for that is being born again or born from above. And I have heard some people say, if he wants me to have it, he'll just give it to me. No, that's not the word of God. You have to receive the Holy Spirit. And if you read in Acts 2 at the end of the chapter, Peter talks about that, you know, that if you've been born from above, that you can receive the Holy Spirit. You can receive the refreshing of God. And so let's talk about let's talk about that a minute, because we have to obviously cultivate it. We just read that. And we have to make the possession of love our great object. Yes, it's good to want to be endowed with his gifts and to benefit the church. And in verse 2 it says, in the Amplified, for one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God. Now, where is this a negative? You hear people trying to discredit tongues and prophecies and the things that the Holy Spirit poured out on the day of Pentecost. What is wrong with that? What is wrong with speaking to God, speaking mysteries to him? And so no one understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding, and that's to our human understanding. In verse 2, he's not saying tongues are bad. He's saying, like I said, tongues, they speak to God. We speak to God. We utter mysteries in the Spirit, the deep things of the Spirit spoken in the language of heaven. Think about how incredible that is. You're speaking mysteries in the Spirit. In other words, in church, this is the whole thing. Paul wants others to be edified, and when a person speaks in tongues, he's speaking to God and uttering mysteries in the Spirit, you know, in our heavenly language that people don't understand. And that's really what Paul is doing, just like he did in the love chapter. He was correcting the Corinthians because they were abusing the gifts. He wasn't saying not to use the gifts of God. That would be ridiculous. So in verse 3, Paul is saying that if a person prophesies, they are building others up, encouraging and consoling, and other versions say uplifting, edifying, and comforting. He isn't saying building yourself up in your most holy faith, even according to Jude verse 20, is wrong to do. He's just saying that in the church, he'd like to see others built up also. So 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, but on the other hand, the one who prophesies, who interprets the divine will and purpose, inspired preaching and teaching, speaks to men for their upbuilding and constructive spiritual progress and encouragement and consolation. And all believers can walk in the gift, in that gift of prophecy. It just doesn't mean they are a prophet. That we discussed for the last 3 weeks, what the office prophet does. But every believer can prophesy. And so let's go in 4. He who speaks in a strange tongue edifies and improves himself. But he who prophesies, interpreting the divine will and purpose and teaching with inspiration, edifies and improves the church and promotes in Christian wisdom, piety, holiness, and happiness. And so he's not saying speaking in tongues is bad. What he's saying is that it improves himself. Where Paul, again, he wants in the church to see everybody edified. You know, he's saying one who speaks in tongues edifies himself, but one who prophesies builds up the church. And we talked about Jude verse 20. It says, you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And I love what he says in verse 5. Now, I wish that you might all speak in unknown tongues, but more especially, I want you to prophesy, to be inspired to preach and interpret the divine will and purpose. He who prophesies, who is inspired to preach and teach, is greater and more useful and more important than he who speaks in an unknown tongue, unless he should interpret what he says, so that the church may be edified and receive good from it. Now, he's not saying the gift of tongues isn't important. What he is saying, again, is that he wants all in the church to be edified. Because he said, I wish you all would speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. Of course, he's not talking about in private, your devotional prayer language, because remember, when you speak in tongues, you speak mysteries to God in the spirit. But again, this is talking about in the corporate body. He wants the whole church to be edified. That's what this is all about, the good of the whole corporate body. In verse 6, he says, he's saying, "Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking in an unknown tongue, how shall I make it to your advantage unless I speak to you either in revelation, disclosure of God's will to man, in knowledge or prophecy or instruction?" And he's saying, though he loves tongues more than you all, ministering in the church, if there's no interpretation, wouldn't benefit the hearers. He says, if I'm speaking to you in tongues and not in prophecy or instruction or in revelation, it needs to be in words in our human language so people can understand the revelation in a church setting. Now, he's not even saying he's not even saying to not speak in tongues in the church, but he's talking about if people are going to edify, he would prefer them to prophesy in the church. But if it's in a heavenly language without the interpretation, you just won't get it. So in the church, if someone stands, and this is really what the gift is, if someone stands up and they give a tongue, and it's, you know, they stand up and they're like, "Shambaropa sakre manna kohote kiribatasia," and they give that tongue, and someone, or even them, doesn't get an interpretation, well, that gift isn't operating the way it's supposed to, because in church, if someone stands up and belts out a tongue, there needs to be an interpretation. And so let's go on to I'm going to put verses 7, 8, and 9 together, because I love this. This is such a great illustration, because talking about musical notes and giving an example of the war bugle. And I know when I read this chat with these verses, we all know what the war bugle is. You know that one. What if that, if there was something else that was played in place of that? It wouldn't be, everybody knows what the war bugle is, but what if something else was played in its place? No one would get it. So if someone asked me or you what those sounds were, we'd know. So this is what it says. If even inanimate musical instruments, such as the flute or the harp, do not give distinct notes, how will anyone listening know or understand what is played? And if the war bugle gives an uncertain, indistinct call, who will prepare for battle? Just so it is with you. If you, in the unknown tongue, speak words that are not intelligible, how will anyone understand what you are saying? For you will be talking into empty space. Now, they're not saying it doesn't mean anything. They're just saying the people listening don't understand the language. And so he's saying, again, if you speak in tongues and no one understands, unless there's an interpretation. Now, also keep in mind that there are varieties of tongues. You can read that in 1 Corinthians 12. You can look up the word varieties in the concordance. There's many different kinds of tongues. It isn't just the one that happened on the day of Pentecost, where, you know, they received in people's languages. They were glorifying God, and all those people understood. That's one. Here's another one that he's discussing, is tongues and interpretation of tongues. But then there's building yourself up in your most holy faith. That's your private prayer. That's your prayer language, that you can pray and intercede and pray all day and get stirred up in the spirit and get stirred up in wisdom and knowledge. There's many varieties of tongues, and so you need to understand that. And so he is talking about the different languages all over the world, that none is destitute of meaning. But if we don't know the language, we'll be clueless. He's talking about music here, of course. You know, if people read music and you get a whole bunch of musicians together and they all know how to read music, they all get the language of music. But say you get someone, he does not know how to read music, and he sits down with a group who are playing together, it's not going to work very well. And so it says, but if I do not know the force and significance of speech or the language, I shall seem to be a foreigner to the one whose speaker who addresses me will seem a foreigner to me. And you can even use the language of music as an example for that. So in verses 12 and 13, he's saying, pray also for the gift of interpretation as well as the gift of tongues. I'm going to read that to you in a minute here. Therefore, so it is with yourselves, since you are so eager and ambitious to possess spiritual endowments and manifestations of the Holy Spirit, concentrate on striving to excel and to abound in them in ways that will build up the church. And so he's saying, pray for the gift of interpretation as well as the gift of tongues itself. Because in verse 13, he says, therefore, the person who speaks in an unknown tongue should pray for the power to interpret and explain what he says. And, you know, the Holy Spirit loves to give gifts to his children. He loves it. And so he wants us to be able to interpret the tongue if it's given in the church like that. You know, and in verses 14, it says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive and it bears no fruit and helps nobody. In other words, he's saying in the church, you know, when you're praying in the spirit, it's not going to bear fruit with them because they don't understand the language of the spirit that you are praying between you and the Holy Spirit. And so Paul's explaining that it's in my spirit. The Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive. It doesn't help others. Paul says, what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me, but I will also pray intelligently with my mind and understanding. You can also sing this way. In other words, you can pray in the spirit and then with human words, and you can sing with the spirit and human words. And I'll give you just a brief example of that. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit and you're praying, and you can say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up, you can say whatever you're lifting up in prayer, Father, I just praise you and thank you that you are the Father of lights, and in you there is no variation or shadow of changing. And Father, I thank you that your healing anointing touches, and then you can pray in the spirit about it. So the Holy Spirit, man, in one sentence, you're praying more than probably 1,000 words in the natural. The same with singing in the spirit. If you've ever watched IHOP praying in the spirit and singing in the spirit, it is the most beautiful thing, because they'll sing a song and the Holy Spirit will lead them into praying and singing in the spirit. It is absolutely so beautiful. And so in verses 18 through 20, he's saying in public worship, you may well be giving thanks, because remember, they're speaking mysteries to God and they're building themselves up in their most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. But again, he wants the whole body to be edified. So he says in verse 15, then what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me. And I just kind of demonstrated that to you. But I will also pray intelligently. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. No, I will sing with my spirit. And I will sing intelligently. Oh, Lord, I bless your holy name. I worship and adore you, Lord, with my mind and understanding also. Otherwise, if you bless and render thanks with you, your spirit, thoroughly aroused by the Holy Spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider or he who is not gifted with interpreting of unknown tongues, say the amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you're saying. Be sure you may give thanks well. Nobody but the bystander is not edified. It does no good. So here again, he's looking out for the whole. He wants everybody to be edified. And I love how the Amplified says it. It says, spirit is thoroughly aroused by the Holy Spirit. You know, and you're definitely in the spirit with him. It's just that the outsiders don't understand it. And so he wants everybody, and some believers aren't baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so he wants them to also be edified also. I thank God. I love how he says this in 1 Corinthians 14:18. I thank God that I speak in strange tongues, languages more than any of you or all of you put together. Now here's the whole thing. Nevertheless, in public worship, I would rather say 5 words with my understanding and intelligently in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a strange tongue. And he's saying, I thank God that I'm filled with the Spirit. I thank God I speak in tongues. But when you're in the church, and there might be people who don't pray in the Spirit, and there might be people who don't understand the things of the Spirit, I want them to be instructed. And so he want them to be edified. And so he's looking out for the whole of the people. And so it says, so then tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, because many have received the gifts and evidence of Pentecost, but to unbelievers, because a lot of unbelievers will reject the signs and the whole gospel message entirely. But prophecy is for a sign, not to unbelievers, but to those who believe. You know, even many believers are just starting to have the revelation of the prophetic and of prophecies. And so when a person prophesies from the heart of God, his own character will be opened up by the word of God. And the sword of the Spirit and the vision inside of them can be activated by the Holy Spirit through the prophet prophesying, or through, you know, the believers prophesying things that only the person and God knows about. Have you ever been prophesied to, or it's something that only you and the Lord knew about, and you knew it was from him? You know, it brings solutions, it brings healing, it brings freedom, and it can be spoken to a believer as well as an unbeliever. Yet the believer who has knowledge of the power of a prophetic word will be a sign to him for his destiny, knowing that the Spirit of the Lord is bringing the vision before him or her, knowing that God has heard their cries and cares about every detail of their life. I mean, if you're in a situation, it's a desperate situation, and you hear a prophetic word, and I'll just give you an example where it's like you get prophesied to that maybe there is a situation in your family, and it's a terrible situation, but the Lord lets you know that he has it in check and that he will take care of your family members. He will make sure that they're delivered out of the hands of the wicked one way or another way. And so, knowing that this is a temporary place to be, that is a really comforting word, to know that no matter what it takes, no matter how it works out, God will make sure that person has a relationship with Jesus. And you can even think of some even on their deathbed, just like the thief on the cross, when Jesus said to him, this day you're going to be in paradise with me. Know that God will do that for you. I mean, every situation is different, but that's just an example. Thus, unknown tongues. I'm going to go back up here to 21. Oh, to 20. Brethren, do not be immature in your thinking. Continue to be babes in matters of evil, but in your minds be mature men and women. Of course, that means mankind, men and women, children. It is written in the law, by men of strange languages and by the lips of foreigners will I speak to this people. And not even then will they listen to me, says the Lord. You know, we don't want to be in that scary place where God's speaking to us supernaturally and we still refuse to listen. Thus, unknown tongues are meant for a supernatural sign for believers, but for unbelievers on the point of believing, while prophecy, inspired preaching and teaching, interpreting the divine will and purpose, is not for unbelievers on the point of believing, but for believers. Therefore, if the whole church assembles and all of you speak in an unknown tongue, unknown tongues, and the ungifted and uninitiated or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are demented? In other words, I know for me, thank God when I was going to be going to a church where they spoke in tongues, thank God I was studying 1 Corinthians 12, and I was studying about the gifts of the Spirit. So when I heard it, and I was like, wow, that's what's in 1 Corinthians 12. Notice it says ungifted or unbelievers. Yes, even ungifted believers, they don't get it sometimes. And so my prayer is that the Spirit of the Lord will reveal it to them, because his gifts and what they're for are amazing. I mean, he wants to touch people around us. And learning how to operate in the gifts is just like learning about prophecy or tongues, learning about the scriptures. Because being prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit is amazing. It's like you're immersed in him then. And it's you receive Jesus and you have to receive the Holy Spirit also. Also think of the day of Pentecost and many other occasions. As with Cornelius and his family and friends, it was a confirmation of their faith. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit first. That's in Acts 10. And then they were baptized in water. Go read it. And so there are unbelievers that are not willful, that are willful and they refuse to believe. And then there are believers who don't believe in what the Holy Spirit clearly poured out on the day of Pentecost. And I just want to read that to you in Acts 2:16. But this spoken through the prophet Joel. I mean, they waited for this since the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? This is the Holy Spirit poured it out. He wants us to walk in it. For heaven's sakes, we have to receive what he did, what they waited for since the Old Testament, for heaven's sakes. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my Spirit. And we know that. And they shall prophesy. And that happened in Acts 2. But if all prophesy, giving inspired testimony and interpreting the divine will and purpose, and an unbeliever or untaught outsider comes in, he is told of his sin and reproved and convicted and convinced by all, and his defects and needs are examined, estimated, determined, and he is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are laid bare, and so falling on his face, he will worship God, declaring that God among you is very truth. So in other words, if someone comes in, right, and they hear, and God speaks to them personally about their lives, and conviction comes upon them by the power of the Spirit, and they hear things that are in their heart that only God and them know, it's going to touch their heart, and they're going to know God is among them. And, of course, you know, Paul gives protocol also. We're, of course, going to run out of time. So here's some protocol. What then, brethren, is the right course? When you meet together, each one has a hymn, a teaching, a disclosure of special knowledge or information, an utterance in a strange tongue, or an interpretation of it. But let everything be constructive and edifying for the good of all. Here's protocol. If some speak in a strange tongue, let the number be limited to two or three at the most, and each one taking his turn, and let one interpret and explain what is said. But if there is no one to do the interpreting, let each of them keep still in church and talk to himself and to God. In other words, let's go back to the beginning. They're speaking to God in mysteries. He's not saying they can't do it. He's just saying if it's going to be for the edifying of the whole body, well, we've just been discussing that. So let two or three prophets speak. Those inspired to preach or teach, while the rest pay attention and weigh and discern what is said. But if an inspired revelation comes to another who is sitting by, let the first one be silent. In other words, don't be rude and interrupt. Let that person finish. For in this way you can give testimony, prophesying, and thus interpreting the divine will and purpose one by one, so that all may be instructed and all may be stimulated and encouraged. For if the spirits of the prophets, the speakers in tongues, are under the speaker's control and subject to silence, to being silenced as may be necessary. So in other words, or it's about order. For he who is the source of their prophesying is not a god of confusion and disorder, but of peace and order, as is the practice in all churches of the saints. Okay, so we are running out of time because I want to continue this possibly next week. There's a couple more scriptures left here. But I do want to, before I play this song, go into 1 Corinthians 14:39. So to conclude, my brethren, earnestly desire and set your hearts on prophesying, on being inspired to preach and teach and to interpret God's will and purpose, and do not forbid or hinder speaking in unknown tongues. But all things should be done with regard to decency and propriety and in an orderly fashion. It's about order and protocol for the protection of others, and that everyone would be edified. And the one that talks about, you know, the women should keep quiet in the churches, for they are authorized to speak, but should take a secondary and subordinate place, just as the law also says. But if there's anything they want to learn, they should ask their own husbands at home. For it's disgraceful for a woman to talk in church, for her to usurp and exercise authority over men. And that originated because the woman would be up in the balconies and they would yell down to their husbands. And so it would cause problems. And so otherwise there wouldn't be a Deborah, a Hulda, a Miriam, an Anna. There wouldn't be all the female teachers, preachers, and prophetesses that there are. So we have to divide that correctly and know about the culture. So we're just going to stop and play Come Holy Spirit for the last couple minutes. Thank you for joining.
Continuing to pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this region. Acts 2:17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, signs on the earth beneath. Lord, we ask you today. Lord, we come into agreement with your word. Lord, that which you've spoken and that which you've confirmed in days past, Lord, we pray for the fullness of that which you promised. Jesus, we ask that you would send the promise of the Father just as you did in Jerusalem years ago. Lord, we ask that you would pour out your Spirit, that a prophetic voice would come forth from the church, O God. That a prophetic voice would come forth as it did with the apostles, that would turn cities upside down as a testimony of Jesus and his coming rule and reign. Oh God, we ask you that you would release the prophetic spirit upon the church, that as the proclamation of the gospel goes forth, that suddenly cities are changed, oh God. Suddenly regions are converted. That suddenly there would be a great witness that you would breathe upon us, that your presence would go with us, that your presence would be upon us like it was with Moses, like it was with the saints of old. Lord, we ask you for our day and our time. Lord, we ask you for today, for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We ask you today for your increased manifest presence in our city and in this region. Father, that you would glorify your Son with the spirit of prophecy on the church. Lord, that you would glorify your Son with the great witness that was